I would like to start this episode off by celebrating the fact that we finally have another woman on the podcast.
I did not realize that this is the first time. Like, I've been listening since the start. I did not realize this is the first.
Motherfuckers, yeah. We just passed the Bechdel test.
Yeah! Wait, in order to pass the Bechdel test, I would have to leave the room for like 2 minutes and then you guys talk not about me.
No, like, there could surely be someone else present when you talk.
There can be 100 people in a room.
Does it count as passing the Bechdel test if you have two named women talk solely about the fact that they've just passed the Bechdel test?
But also I will point out that we don't actually have two named women yet.
Yeah, well, we better get that out the way. I'm Tansy.
I am Charles, and for her pitch shift debut, my former housemate, writer of the best Caitlyn Jenner joke anyone's ever told, Margot. Welcome to the show, Margot.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah, we love our supporters. That makes me sound so disingenuous, but we really do.
Margot, this is the first time that we've got you on the podcast, but obviously you were the inspiration for a previous episode that we did. It was my sequel to Milkshake.
Yes, you're the inspiration of Boy Wars.
Yeah, you were the reason why Boy Wars became a beautiful franchise.
You're responsible for this.
Crowning achievement.
And now you're responsible for today's pitch too.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to give the context, Margot?
Yeah, well, I mean, just saw the trailer for the Batman.
For a prestige superhero movie, you either add or remove the word the.
Well, because
Joker,
isn't it the Suicide Squad as well?
Yeah, the new one is the Suicide Squad.
Oh my god,
Jesus! But yeah, I watched the trailer for it, not expecting much, but being kind of excited because I knew Colin Farrell was going to be in it, and I'm a tragic Colin Farrell fan.
Ah, I love Colin Farrell.
And was just so, not even upset, just kind of a bit disgusted. Like, just felt a bit gross afterwards and angry because fucking Batman hates disabled people. And this one, like, super hates disabled people. And just the fact that he resembles, like, every single person in the video clip for Black Parade just makes you talk.
Yeah, so the much Robert worse. The Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
Battinson.
Yes.
So we had Batfleck, and I guess we have Battinson or our bats.
Yeah.
So many comments celebrating the fact that, like, finally we have a Batman brave enough to not take off the face makeup after he takes the mask off.
It is wild how little Batman needs to do. Like,
yeah.
So, in celebration of that, you asked us to do a superhero movie with villains who weren't disabled or gay or trans or any of those easy shortcuts that Hollywood likes to do.
Yeah, people are just bad.
Yeah, and so I've kind of taken that and run with it.
Love that.
And I thought I needed the right song to do this, and I've sort of had these two ideas floating around in my head for a while, and they finally connected. So today I'm going to do the standalone Poison Ivy movie that we all deserve, as inspired by Britney Spears' Toxic.
Yes.
Yes.
And, like, we've used Toxic previously on the show because I had a string quartet playing it frequently throughout the original How to Be a Heartbreaker.
That's right. Yes.
But, like, I've had a great couple days just listening to every cover of Toxic and every remix of Toxic and Toxic.
You hit that Glee version?
I did not. And I listened to the first 30 seconds of the Pitch Perfect one. And then I think I did actually have to call the Poison Hotline because it's revolting. And I felt physically ill.
You're like, this sure is toxic.
It sure is.
With the taste of your lips, I want to die.
Yeah, basically. But can thoroughly recommend Toxic, but the lyrics are Kanye West Power.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Toxic, but it's a cover by Hozier. The taste of your lips, I'm in a way. Your toxic comes dipping on the taste. And also, Two Way, who do like trailer remixes of pop songs, did a Toxic that would like definitely feature in the trailer for this.
I love the term do a toxic.
They do a toxic.
I one of my like formative gay experiences I remember was being at home watching, I think it was the Sunrise Show, and Kate Miller Heidke did a cover.
Ooh, I don't think I found that one.
Oh, such a jam.
No, I met Kate Miller Heidke once.
Oh.
When I was 12. And she signed my CD because I saw her in a gig. And cute. She did Phantom of the Opera in it.
Like as a actually, cover no, or the whole thing? Actually, no,
she did a cover of You're the Voice, in which she did the high bit from the Phantom of the Opera theme. Cool. It was great.
Yeah, I can see that working. Yeah. Only with Kate Miller-Heidke.
Oh, yeah, only KMH.
Yeah.
But now I'm just imagining like a version of Phantom of the Opera, except it's John Farnham.
Can I do you one better? Jimmy Barnes as the Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, he's it. Like, sing for me. let me show you the music of the night. Anyway, what do we do on this podcast?
We take songs and frequently forget to explain how the podcast works.
Yeah.
We take songs and pitch movies based on songs. One of us normally heads up the pitch and the others contribute. And I'm going to need a fair bit of contribution on this because my idea is rough.
Yay!
So I'm glad to have you too.
Love that.
Yeah. So do we want to just sort of go straight into this? Because, I mean, it's Poison Ivy. We've got a certain amount of assumed knowledge.
Yeah. But
I do have a dream director for the project.
Ooh.
Did you guys see Hustlers?
No, I still haven't seen Hustlers because I'm a bad person.
You are. You're missing out too.
The director of Hustlers?
Yeah, so Lorena Scafaria, who, like, Hustlers was meant to be, like, she wrote it and it was meant to be directed by Martin Scorsese. But then she was just like, hey, I'd really like to direct this. And I'm so glad she did because the amount of just, like, humanity and, like, just there's a difference between grit and texture and just the everyday life texture that she brought to that movie was something that, like, I cannot imagine a male director doing. So character like Poison Ivy, you want that sort of, like, stark reality of being female while also not being like, oh, this is a depressing film. It's still got like glitz and glamour, but there is like reality beneath it.
No, I'm particularly glad to hear that that was not Martin Scorsese, because if you were then going to pitch this like a Martin Scorsese, I would have had to have been like, well, we already have Martin Scorsese doing a DC film. And it was Todd Phillips' Joker.
Well, I've basically, like, the first line in my document here is basically the approach of Jonker, but to a story that almost deserves it.
Love it. Let's jonk this bitch.
Let's jonk straight into it. So we start off meeting Dr. Pamela Isley, who is an environmental researcher at the EPA. She specializes in rare grasses and plant life. And at the moment, she's doing an environmental impact analysis on this big, basically, like, wasteland area around the Ace Chemical Factory in Gotham City that has been totally ruined by decades and decades of chemical exposure. But in the events of Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn blew up the Ace Chemical Factory kind of as a bit. So now that's out of commission. All the land around it is leveled and Wayne Corp want to build housing developments on it, and they want to build like sustainable, environmentally friendly housing. So we sort of meet Pam as she is like taking plant samples from this site, and she's very chill, very relaxed. This is kind of her in her element.
Cool.
And I know like the obvious dream casting for Poison Ivy is obviously Christina Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, just for the way that like this character's working, I'm thinking more Ruth Wilson.
Hold on. Ruth Wilson.
So she was in Luther.
Oh, okay. Ruth Wilson, who was in
The Affair.
I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
Yes.
She's great. I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. That whole movie, she only ever whispers and it's like, mwah.
Yeah, so like her best known role is probably Luther, but she was also in The Affair until she asked for equal pay and they unceremoniously killed her character off screen.
Cool. So tragic. I just realized where I know her from.
Is it Lone Ranger?
No, it's His Dark Materials.
Ah!
That's not tragic.
Far less tragic than if it were the Lone Ranger.
So Dr. Pamela Isley, just doing her job, just doing this report, and we kind of see a bit of her life. We see that she's, like, working within the EPA, but that they work quite closely, and a lot of their funding comes from the Wayne Foundation, which is being run by a guy called John Norman, because if you're a man in Batman, your name is two men's first names.
Yep, Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon.
Alfred. No other examples.
I was going to say, does Lex Luthor count? Because you can be first name Luthor.
Yeah. But yeah, so like John Norman is in charge of the Wayne Foundation's environmental initiative, but he was sort of on track to be quite high up in Wayne Corp. And then he got completely shafted by the miraculous return of Bruce Wayne, who was like, hey, I'm going to run my company again. And everyone was like, where the fuck have you been? He's like, doesn't matter. I'm going to do all of these sweeping reforms.
Definitely wasn't being Batman anyway.
Definitely not ninja training.
Who's playing Batman in this? Who's playing Bruce Wayne in this?
I do have someone for that. So
it is a new Batman.
Yes, because I think like you need to acknowledge that Batman is a shitty frat boy, rich trust fund kid. And I wanted someone who has not only played that, but is that. So Batman / Bruce Wayne is going to be Armie Hammer.
Ah, yes. Yes. My first guess was going to be Donald Trump Jr. It's going to be like, that guy? Is that who? Just Mitt Romney? You know how Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne kind of looked like hot Mitt Romney?
Oh, no. What? Why'd you have to say that?
He basically looked like hot Mitt Romney the whole movie. Anyway, Armie Hammer is perfect. Wasn't he meant to play Batman some point?
Yeah, George Miller's Justice League that never happened and would have had Megan Gale as Wonder Woman was meant to have Armie Hammer as Batman.
God, that's a,
interesting.
That's a
choice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong choice. Perhaps strong choice.
Release the Miller cut is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we've got Armand Hamburger.
Yes.
And we've got Ruth Wilson.
Yep. And then John Norman, who is the Wayne Foundation environmental guy, because I've just been watching a lot of Ultraviolet this week. I'm thinking Jack Davenport.
Okay.
Commodore Norrington from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
While we're doing trash references.
He's in Smash.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the creepy director man in Smash.
Oh, that man's career has not gone well. So Pam is working like a bit with Norman as part of this project because a lot of the EPA funding is coming from the Wayne Foundation because the government's broken. But she's also having to deal with this senator who is working to get all of the, he's kind of like, we need to cut all this green tape. We need to make the EPA processes much smoother. The EPA is a thorn in everyone's side, like that kind of senator.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because it's Batman rules, so your name is two first names. Yep. So we're just going to call this guy Angus Taylor.
Okay. I was going to say like Jim Jordan.
No, Angus Taylor.
Actual U.S. Senator Jim Jordan, whose name is two
no,
first
just
names.
For purely coincidental reasons, he shares a name with the shitbag Australian Member of Parliament and would be played by Nathan Fillion, who doesn't look at all like Angus Taylor, the Member of Parliament. So,
it took me a little minute to put a face to Nathan Fillion. Because, like, I'm a nerd, but I'm not that kind of nerd, you know?
That's one of the most powerful statements you've ever said, Charlie.
I mean, yeah. I don't fuck with that kind of nerdery.
Absolutely
fair. Firefly who? Oomst? Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. So you sort of see Pamela working on that EPA project, and then you see her going to see her psychologist, and she's been struggling a lot with catastrophic thinking because she feels like the world is ending, but also she is like a very high level environmental scientist. So when she goes in and is like, the world is ending, we've got, you know, we had 15 years and that was 20 years ago, like all of this catastrophic thinking, her psychiatrist is kind of like, well, look, you bought receipts. So I don't know what to say at this point.
It's so stressful being that psychiatrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
they
maybe
don't become
it won't...
arguments. It's just the psychiatrist is like, I'm just going to let you like catastrophic think for an hour and then go, maybe don't.
I'm just imagining her sending her psychiatrist into her own spiral of catastrophic thinking because a world-renowned environmental scientist is being like, we're fucked. And then it's like, okay, I need to keep it together for the rest of the session, and then I need to call my psychiatrist.
I was gonna say, you know what Pam's psychiatrist needs? A psychiatrist.
But through that conversation, we also learned that Pam has only recently returned to work after a round of chemo for like probably a relatively like not minor cancer, but like not terminal. Like she is in remission. She's probably currently doing her radio after, we'll just say it's breast cancer because that's the one I know the most about. So she's had chemo, she's on radio, and her work is basically the only modicum of control she can have over the environmental devastation that is like surrounding her and being inflicted upon the world. So that's where she is. It's not a great place.
That's
a kind of shitty place to be.
That's some kind of way to feel.
So she's, you know, she's going back to work next day. She's collecting all these grass samples and she finds one that she's like, that's weird. I've never seen that before. So she goes back to the EPA. She does a bunch of research, does a bunch of tests, whatever environmental scientists actually do. And she's like, holy shit, this is this incredibly endangered grass that we thought was extinct. We thought it had been completely wiped out when Gotham was urbanized, but somehow it's managed to grow back in the fallout of this chemical plant explosion. So we need to absolutely, like, you cannot build anything on this land because this is the only surviving sample, and when we try to grow it elsewhere, it just like, it doesn't take. Something weird in the soil is like, we will grow in this very toxic poisonous area but not anywhere else. So she's like, cool, that entire development that you're going to build there, you can't do it.
I imagine they take that very well.
Don't love.
Oh, okay. They don't take it well.
So she sort of delivers that report and her boss is like, are you sure you want to submit this report? And she's like, absolutely, this is the correct information. And they're like, are you sure you want to do this? And she like, she doesn't quite play the political game. It's not that she's clueless. She just like, she assumes that the EPA is separate to all of that. And the next day, suddenly there's this really weird vibe at work. Some old articles that she published have been sort of brought up from the woodwork, and all of her methodology in them has been completely discredited. And suddenly there's, you know, pictures of her with an environmental protest group at university, and there's all of these questions about the appropriateness of her coming back to work so soon after her surgery and chemo. And basically, Wayne Corporation are doing everything they can to discredit her research.
Jeez.
And to discredit her as a researcher. And particularly the cancer thing really rattles her because she hasn't been particularly public about that. So she realizes that it must have been one of her very few close colleagues or friends who leaked that to Wayne Corp. So she's really like really on edge, really tense. And this should sort of be shot a bit like a political thriller. Like she doesn't know who she can talk to. She doesn't know who she can trust. And she's dealing a lot with this John Norman guy who is part of the Wayne Foundation environmental agency. But then she's suddenly like, wait a second, he's from fucking Wayne Corp. Like I can't actually trust this person. So she's constantly just like questioning everything around her. Her psychologist is like on the phone to her own psychologist the second after the session's end, being like, oh my God, I got to talk to you about this shit.
Something's happened. My client hanged out with uni environmental activists. Jesus.
Yeah. And like the idea that like, as well, Pam has very much tried to separate herself from any form of politics because she's like, I cannot, like the EPA needs to be apolitical, so I need to be apolitical because I cannot be taken seriously. And suddenly, like, it doesn't matter that she was apolitical. The EPA is political and she's being forced out. So she has to take a day off to go in and get some radiotherapy. And while she's away, all of her research is taken from her lab.
Wow.
And the entire area that she has been working on is mysteriously destroyed in a chemical fire.
I'm mad.
Yeah, like Pam's mad too.
Yeah.
And you just sort of like, you don't quite see her react, I think. I imagine that like she would be told that and you'd see like close up of like nails digging into palm, but you'd see very much that she is controlling her reaction and like just absolutely burying everything.
Yeah, like wow, that's terrible. Okay.
And then that night you just see her like take the train into a very fancy part of Gotham. Like very wealthy, very rich, stately homes. Not quite a suburb, more like estates. And there is a very complicated water filtration system that's in place because we sort of like, it would be dropped previously. The water in Gotham is fucked. Like there's so much lead and like chemical interference and like it's not a good place to live, Gotham. But there is this very expensive, very fancy water filtration system to make sure that the rich people aren't getting sick. And Pam just like very calmly, very quietly destroys it. Like not even doing like hitting it with a wrench. Like literally she knows which particular parts she just needs to tweak to make it completely unusable.
Amazing.
Interesting.
And she walks away from that and it's like this tiny modicum of control that she can have over the world. But by the next morning, there's been, you know, this massive furor. It's, oh my God, the water was poisonous in the rich suburb for like a day. Oh my God, it's already been fixed. Like this massive uproar. And it is very quickly blamed on an eco-terrorism group that have been operating out of Gotham for a while. Then I'm just going to call the protectors because they protect the environment.
I love it. That's such a sweet name for an eco-terrorist group. That's so like, oh, we're the protectors. You know, we poison people's water in order to, you know, help the environment out. Like, ah, oh, I love the earth.
We do a protect.
Yeah, but obviously in this case, the protectors weren't actually responsible for this, even though they're being blamed for it. And Pamela is sort of trying to keep her head down, trying not to react. She's walking into work and suddenly she just gets grabbed off the street and shoved into a van.
Oof.
And she has no idea where she is. She has no idea where she's going. She's blindfolded, can't work out what's happening. And then she is taken into big empty warehouse because you got to have a big empty warehouse
as a
location in this kind of thing, where she is introduced to the protectors.
Hey!
Who are like... That's quite a bit of work that you did yesterday. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And their leader is like, no, we've been monitoring that water filtration system. We were kind of planning to do that in the next couple of weeks, but you kind of beat us to the mark. And unfortunately, because we were monitoring it, and she kind of lays out all of these still video frames of Pam sabotaging the water system.
Uh-huh.
And the leader is like, these wouldn't be great if they ended up with your boss, would they?
Dis you?
Yeah, basically. And Pam is like, what do you want? Do you want money? Because I don't have any. I'm an environmental scientist. And they're like, no, but you are an environmental scientist, which is something that we need. Like, you're within the EPA, right? You have power and sway there. And Pam's like, are you blackmailing me? And she's like, I thought this was very obvious. And Pam's like, do I get to know who I'm working with? And the leader is like, you can call me Thylacine.
Amazing.
Thylacine.
Really?
Not as sweet as the protectors, is it?
No. But it's like, are you sure that's what I can get? There's nothing else I could call you? Thylacine? You sure? Okay.
Thylacine, for context, is probably played by Madeline Madden. She's a very recent addition to the DC universe. But so that's Thylacine. And she's sort of gives Pam a bunch of like samples of different like plant life and different polluted water and all of these very specific things. And she's like, we've been trying to get the EPA to pay attention to these particular issues for years. None of it worked. We started blowing shit up and they've called us terrorists instead of paying attention to what we're actually talking about. So I need you to actually get the attention that needs to be put on all of this. Mm. And Pam doesn't have a choice.
But also, didn't she just get all of her research cancelled?
Yeah, like, does she still have a, like, what is her job?
I think she's still, like, it's one of those things where she still has a job, but she's definitely been, like, demoted and, like, put in her place. Like, an example has been made of her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But they can't really get rid of her. Like, she's that grandfathered into the system.
Yeah.
So okay. Pam is, yeah, very much, she's a double agent, but she doesn't have a lot of choice in it. But now that she is kind of doing this work, she starts to push back a bit more to, like, political pressure, which, of course, just, like, worsens her reputation at the EPA. But she's, like, she's being blackmailed, but she's not really unwilling in what she's mm-hmm. being blackmailed about. And, like, concurrent to this, you've got John Norman, who's that, like, Wayne Corp Environmental Foundation guy. He is, like, clearly going after Pam because mm-hmm. Pam's Ruth Wilson. Pam's hot. Like,
oh, you mean going after in that way?
Oh, yeah, no, like, going after, but, like, very much as in, like, not going after her because she's a world-respected scientist, going after her because, like, hot face, good titty kind of thing.
And that was Tansy on
toxic masculinity, hot face, yeah, good titty.
On the love, yeah,
love you saved that one for the episode. But it's two women. That's
hot face, good titty.
You know when you're a woman and, like, men either see you as a world respected environmental scientist or hot face, good titty.
I was gonna say, like, welcome to Pitch Shift. This podcast is hosted. This week we're hosted by Hot Face Good Titty, and Charles.
Yeah. So, like, she's not straight up being like, no, you'll get away. But she's clearly not interested. But he keeps being like, hey, I've shown up to the EPA because we kind of run this organization now that the government's pulled all your funding. And she's like, oh, I guess this is happening. But throughout, like, this kind of section, you shouldn't really be able to tell which side Pam is on.
Yeah.
And then she kind of, like, she gets some water test results back from a big reservoir that is, like, feeding a lot of the water into Gotham City. It's a lot of the consumption water, a lot of the shower water, like, just, you know, water. Mm. You know how water works. You know, hot face, good titty, get water.
It's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, so there's, like, big old reservoir. She's done some tests on water samples from there. And she's like, So, like, as an audience, we probably see the results, but we don't know what the fuck they mean because we're not environmental scientists. Because
we're big old ding-dongs.
Yeah, and anyway, she gets on the phone and calls Senator Angus Taylor and is like, I have information on the protectors, but, like, I need to meet you in person to hand it over.
Ooh.
And he's like, okay, where? And she gives him, you know, such and such reservoir, you know, big black hole full of bad water reservoir. So you get, like, I love the way they just give, you know, it's like Crime Alley, big black hole full of bad water reservoir.
Hot face, good tea.
Batman's great. Batman's such a great series.
Batman is an intelligent comic book series for adults. It's not for kids, it's for grown-ups.
That's right.
I am a grown-up fan.
Bat is also a detective, and it's for adults.
Yeah, it's actually like a neo-noir, actually.
So anyway, she meets him at the big Blackwater Reservoir, and in the interests of not being as instantly recognisable in case there is any monitoring again, she finds a red wig that she was given kind of as a joke when she started having chemo. And she's like, nah, that'll do as a disguise. So she meets Angus Taylor by this reservoir. And he's like, you got information on the protectors. And she instead goes off on this big monologue about, like, the way that when they were starting to pump water from the reservoir back in, like, the 40s, they didn't put proper corrosion inhibitors on any of the pipes. And that, like, financial analysis has been done since then that basically says it's cheaper to pay out lawsuits than actually fix any of the pipes. And she gets to the point where she's like, do you know what the number one cause of death is within a 5-mile radius of here?
Uh-huh.
And Angus Taylor, who's just sort of been following this rant, is like, no. And she's and she says, lead poisoning, and shoots him.
Ah! I love it!
And throws him
into the reservoir. Did she just go through a ridiculously long setup for a pun?
Yes. Because this hero is Batman.
That is Poison Ivy's character, though.
My like Poison Ivy.
Loves puns.
Yeah. So after, like, a brief moment of, like, I'm imagining the audience being like, yes, Pam is like, shit, just killed man. Not a great idea. So she shoves his body in the reservoir and, like, goes home and does probably, like, a Lady Macbeth out Dan spot kind of hand-washing thing.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly there's a knock at the door and she's like, shit, it's the cops. It's going to be the cops. It's going to be the cops. And she opens the door and it's Thylacine, who's like, I did not know you had that in you. And she's like, are you following me? And she's like, of course we're following you. We're blackmailing you. We need to know what you're doing at all times. And she's like, so are you going to call the cops? And she's like, no, we're going to claim credit for this. Like, do you have any idea how tangled Angus Taylor was in that whole, like, that whole grassland that got destroyed in a mysterious fire? His brother owned it. Like,
oh God.
he stood to, like, gain millions from having the Wayne Corp development there. Like, we don't care, but maybe, like, give us a heads up next time you're going to do all of that. And Pam is still, like, quite freaked out about all of this. And she's like, but
she's
what
like,
if...
next time?
Yeah. Next time? Yeah. And Thylacine's like, we'll be in touch. And she's like...
So Pam's like, hey, will you leave me alone now that I've killed someone for you? Like, if I killed someone for you,
would you love me more?
Would you love me less and leave me alone? Like, Bill Hader as what was his name? His name was Dick.
Yeah.
Just like drives past and he's like, cameo.
Yeah.
Pitch shift cinematic universe.
PSEU.
The pursue.
So, basically, the protectors kind of look like they're going to claim credit for this murder, and then suddenly there's a witness who saw Angus Taylor talking to a beautiful redhead before he was killed. And the media are like, tell me more about this beautiful redheaded serial killer. And so the media get absolutely fixated on the idea of this beautiful serial killer. And Pam's like, are you...
A femme fatale.
Pam's a bit like, are you fucking kidding me? And this is where it all gets a bit hand-wavy in terms of plot. But she's trying to keep up appearances sort of within the EPA and within the protectors. And, like, in the EPA, she's being forced even more out, and she realises basically the only way she can secure and guarantee her position there is by starting a relationship with John Norman, because he's, like, funding most of the EPA. And she's like, thanks, I hate this, but I need to save the environment.
Love it. I love that for her. Well, I hate that for her, but I love the saving the environment bit.
But, like, things just keep getting worse. There keeps being more attention placed on, like, these killings. And, like, they probably found Angus Taylor's body at this point. And, like, the police are involved. Batman is kind of, like, starting to appear. Like, there's suddenly all of this retribution for criminal activity. And Pam's like, shit, I killed a dude. That's a criminal activity.
That you're right. You're right, Pam.
Yeah.
Post-crime
we cancel murderers all the time.
And yet we haven't properly cancelled John Landis. Anyway. So Pam sort of gets into this, like, her catastrophic thinking gets worse and worse, and she spirals further and further. And she gets to this point where she's like, there's, like, the damage has already been done to the environment. There's no recovery at this point. There's only damage control. And she's dealing with Norman, who is, like, in charge of this philanthropic but capitalistic approach to environmentalism, which is, we need to fund research, we need to fund green solution, we need to find new technology, but it's not going to go anywhere. And she's probably seeing, like, secret reports that Wayne Corp have commissioned that are all about, like, mitigating the financial impact of climate change rather than actually mitigating the environmental impacts of climate change or trying to stop them. because yep. capitalism and environmentalism can't coexist. But anyway.
We really do live in a society.
A society? Yes, that yeah, is indeed where we live. And Pam gets to the point where she's like, there is only one solution to all of this.
Become a plant.
Kill Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Also, yes.
Because she's like,
just
this.
Just waiting for him to become a plant.
Yeah, she's just literally like, this motherfucker shows up. He decides he's going to run Gotham City through his, like, one mega corporation, Jeff Bezos bullshit.
Yeah,
I'm going
to slap. I have the most money.
I'm going to slap that boy so hard it'll sound like a screenshot. Like, I'm going to kill Bruce Wayne.
Wait, that works when it's Jeff Bezos because he's bald. I don't know if it works when it's Armie Hammer. Because he's got hair. If you slap his head, I mean, wouldn't sound like a screenshot.
I'm sure if you slapped Armie Hammer, you could make it sound like a screenshot. You'd maybe have to do like two-handed. But
yeah.
Is Batman Jeff Bezos or is Batman like Elon Musk, except because it's a comic book, all of his ideas work?
Just Batman, but none of his ideas work, isn't it? Yes, like a concept I love.
Yeah, and also like Elon Musk hasn't got a handle on a cool costume yet.
Oh,
he doesn't have any
time.
Cool outfits.
No.
If he were to implement Kimball Musk's whole cowboy shtick, and also then his plans work, he could be like Batman.
Yeah. So Pam is like, yeah, I'm gonna kill Bruce Wayne. At this also like not in any way aware that he is Batman. Like she does not know this. She's just
you got enough reasons to want to kill
Bruce
Wayne.
I
want to
kill Bruce Wayne. So there is some big, like, gala that is happening for the Wayne Foundation environmental fundraiser, whatever. Like, one of those big, fancy black tie events that mean we can get a location for Wayne Manor. Pam is going, and she's like, look, if I'm going to kill Bruce Wayne, I might as well pull out all the stops. And she's like, that really rare grass that she has the tiniest remaining sample of. She probably smuggled it out earlier in the film. Is exceptionally poisonous.
Yes.
And she's like, the only logical thing to do in this situation is make a lipstick out of it.
Oh, totally.
Because that's the only logical thing to do in that situation.
Yeah. Now, that's what I call a femme, a fatale. Fatale. It's femme and it's fatal.
It truly is. But she's like, I need to know that, like, it's weird. Batman keeps, like, showing up and protecting shit that Bruce Wayne is at, so I need to make sure that Batman won't be there.
Is she also just assuming that Bruce Wayne is going to kiss her?
Yeah, I mean, like,
she's Ruth Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah,
and he's
Armie
Hammer.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to happen.
I love that energy.
Yeah.
I love that
energy. Oh, absolutely. So she's like, I need to know that Batman won't be there. So she calls up Thylacine, and she's like, you got any plans coming up? And Thylacine's like, interesting you should ask that. We were going to blow up this massive oil pipeline because, like, all of the fancy fucks are going to be at that gala, and, like, the security detail, there's light that night, and, like, we wanted to make a statement while they were all sipping champagne. We were blowing shit up. And Pam's like, interesting, good to hear, thanks, bye, hangs up.
Oh, wow, that totally doesn't gel really well with any plans that I may or may not have. Anyway, bye.
And, like, she is relying on the fact that Batman is going to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't at all warn them that that is a possibility.
Oh, no.
So she's at this fancy gala and she's in, like, beautiful green gown. Like, this is probably where we get whoever did the outfits for Atonement. And we're like, find that green fabric again that you had to make by getting three other green fabrics and dyeing them together. Like, get that sort of look. Like, this is your big costume moment. So she shows up on the arm of John Norman, who really is just, like, a piece of shit. Like, I don't think we need to get any further into who he is as a character.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, instantly, like, attaches herself to Bruce Wayne and is like, hello, I'm Dr. Pamela Isley. I'm the environmental scientist at this environmental fundraiser. Oh, wow, look at me. I'm so charming and gorgeous. I'm just going to hang off your arm for a bit. And, like, fully, like, setting that up, gets to, like, the point where she's like, hey, do you want to give me, like, a tour of Wayne Manor, like, maybe somewhere more private? And, like, they leave. John Norman's like,
that goddamn armband handband.
So, like, she gets to the point where she's like, oh, Bruce Wayne, very pretty. Just let me kiss you a bit and poison you, because that's my whole shtick.
Smoochy, smoochy.
And he immediately collapses, and she's like, better get the fuck out of here.
Whoopsie daisy.
That's
whoops.
A hash rash.
Hash rash. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Marg.
So she's like, or I better get out of here. Norman probably catches her and is like, you can't just leave like that. My supposed girlfriend, this relationship dynamic hasn't been clearly established.
he's like, hey, you cucked me.
So she has assumed that Bruce Wayne is just going to get hella poisoned and die. But unfortunately, Alfred is there. And manages to,
damn
like,
it, Alfred.
Get some bat anti-venom to Bruce Wayne just in time. And Bruce Wayne, being Bruce Wayne the dumb cunt, is like, oh my god, they were trying to kill me. This must be a setup. She must be working with the protectors. Oh my god, they're going to get the pipeline. So he immediately, like, Batmans up and fucks out of there to go stop the pipeline.
I got a Batman up and fuck out.
I would like that on a t-shirt, please.
Alfred, how am I looking? And Alfred's like, hot face, titty good. Master Wayne.
Tell me, Alfred, what do you think of Dr. Isley? Well, she got a hot face and a good titty, Master Wayne.
You said that about me, though, Alfred. I thought that was me. Who's the Alfred in this one?
Alfred is Matt Berry.
Is it Andy Serkis?
In the new one, I think it is. But no, Alfred should only ever be Matt Berry. And yeah. Who's
Matt Berry?
Laszlo from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, right.
He's got a big voice.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
Master Wayne.
Hot face, big titty.
Go on. Okay, what happens next?
So Batman is, Bruce Wayne is Batman dumped and fucked out of there.
Yes.
And goes straight to the oil pipeline, where he immediately captures all of the protectors with a shitload of TNT and is like, aha, I have caught the terrorists and I am the good guy.
And I never kill, except for that one that I accidentally did just kill.
Yeah, he probably,
but
like,
other than that, I never kill.
He just straight up drops someone off the top of this massive pipeline structure and he's like, and I never kill. And you just hear like bones
just
shattering.
So you know, I didn't kill you.
You put yourself in a position to be easily ended. So Corinna is captured. And meanwhile, at the gala, like, Norman and Pam are having this, like, very whispered, furious conversation where Pam is like, everything here is going nowhere. Like, she actually fully, like, vents the frustrations that she normally only talks about in the safety of her psychologist's office.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, none of this is going to do anything. This is just mitigating risk for the economy. It's not at all considering, like, the actual lives that are going to be destroyed by everything that this company does, and they can throw as much money as they want into charity, they're never going to be able to buy back their souls.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman's like, well, you can't do anything outside of here. Like, you need to be on the inside to actually make change. Otherwise, you're just banging at a door that will never be answered. And Pam's like, I can't do this. I can't pretend that this is impartial. And just like...
Mm-hmm.
Basically, she's like, she's been living a double life up until this point, but you cannot flip back and forth and play both sides in this. You have to pick one. And she's like, I'm out. This is me picking a side, and walks out of there. And as she goes,
hell yeah,
you see her take out her tube of lipstick and drop the whole thing into like a big punch bowl that is just sitting conveniently nearby.
Yes.
And so the next day you see the news reports that like hundreds of Gotham's most wealthy and influential citizens poisoned and dead, like actually fucking died. Oh my god. There was a beautiful
poisoned
redhead.
Poisoned and dead, question mark?
Dead.
Are we to believe that they all drank punch at the same time, or that they one by one went up to the punch bowl, drank some, died. And then everyone's like, Jesus. Like,
geez, that punch looks good.
Get over that.
Jesus, I'm very stressed. I better hydrate. It's probably like diluted
enough.
Wow,
sure looks like that punch has been spiked.
Yeah, like it's probably diluted enough that they all die the next morning. Yeah, but, you know, there's big news articles like, oh my God, like what's going on? This can't have been the protectors. Their leader was arrested yesterday. Will probably be put to death trial because this is America. Don't catch you slipping up. And you see, like, Pam watching all of this, probably sitting on the top. Actually, you know what? She'd probably be standing in that field that we opened in that has been, like, absolutely poisoned to shit by all of the ACE chemicals, but has still managed to grow previously extinct species in spite of that. And you just see her sort of standing there, and then you see, like, the news articles or, like, the morning show, and someone's like, man... Whoever did this, she's sure one poisonous woman. And someone's like, ha, like poison ivy. And Pam's like, fuck, now I got to deal with this.
Oh, God, I just got a name, didn't I?
And they're like, oh, was she that beautiful redhead serial killer? Oh, my God, I'd like to be serial killed by her. Sexism is inescapable regardless of where you are in society.
Lamal.
You get, like, some sort of, I think you needle drop toxic.
Yeah.
At that point.
Oh, yeah.
And you probably have her, like, kill Norman at that point. That's probably the point where you kill Norman.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kill Norman at some point.
You do have to kill Norman at some point, and just being poisoned off screen isn't good enough. He probably works out it was her, and she's like, yeah, this is where that poison grew, and then, like, shoves his face into a thistle.
He's like, so I guess we're not...
We're not, like, kind of a couple now. Like, I never knew what was really going on.
Yeah, he's like, just before you kill me, what are we?
So, like, that is your needle drop for toxic. And you get, like, cut black. But, of course, this is a DC movie. We need to have a post-credit.
Do DC movies have post-credit scenes?
They do because they were successful in Marvel movies.
Yeah, I was like, surely that means that they wouldn't have actively tried to just copy the form totally. But what am I saying? Justice League was just Avengers, but bad.
Release the Miller cut. So we get our post-credit scene. We've got Thylacine sitting in a small windowless room. Mm-hmm. And you can hear a woman reading from her rap sheet. She's like... Corinna, you're a long way from home. It's the Pilbara that your family's originally from, right? Yeah, the Pilbara in Australia. That's interesting. I don't know what you're doing here, but now that you are here, we might as well find some use for you. And we get, like, slow, probably tracking reveal that the woman talking to her is Amanda Waller, as played by Viola Davis, because she's the only thing worth bringing back from the DCU.
So done dirty by those fucking films.
Such a waste of a good Viola Davis.
Right? Yeah. And she, I mean, it's that thing where, like, even with the garbage dialogue that they give her, she still almost manages to make it work.
They managed to completely fuck up everything of Suicide Squad except that one bit of casting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've revealed it's Amanda Waller. And Corinna has probably, like, had a hand on her neck up until this point and, like, takes it away, and you can just see, like, a light flashing beneath that. And she's like, what the fuck have you done to me? And Amanda Waller's like, at this point, it's your decision what happens next. It doesn't matter what's already happened. Like, isn't that your whole thing? We need to mitigate the current risks to the environment, you know, deal with the world as it is now. And Thylacine's like, I'm not here for your bullshit. What do you want? And Waller... slides a photo of Pam across the table and is like, welcome to the Suicide Squad.
Ah!
I want you to kill Poison Ivy.
Love it. I love it.
Interesting.
I love all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That was kind of a similarly Joker-esque, like, oblique origin story, but actually it was good.
Oh, thank you. Unlike Joker.
Yeah, unlike Joker. It was good. It was enjoyable to experience. And it at no point made fun of anyone who's disabled, which is something Joker devotes a full 2 minutes to in the middle of climactic moment. Is like, ha ha!
Much like the Bechdel test, it's a bare minimum, and yet we've finally done it.
So she doesn't turn into a plant.
No, I'm afraid she does not turn into a plant.
That's okay.
But you
is
know,
it okay, Margo? I don't know if it is okay.
I'll be okay.
See, I figured when you got towards the end where she was like, where she'd walked out of the thing and she like walked towards the big fucking poisonous reservoir, that then she was going to just like walk into it or something and then come out of it and she was going to be like crazy plant lady. Like,
that would be as good an ending as if she was, it just ended with her walking into Blackwater well poisoned reservoir or whatever the fuck it was called.
And it's like, oh no, she's going to die, but no, she's going to become a plant.
I love that. I don't know. I just, Poison Ivy, absolutely like top tier Batman villain.
Oh, and like the thing is that like particularly now, she's not a villain. She's the hero. Mm. It's like, oh, you want to destroy capitalism and kill old white men who ruin the environment? Like, sign me the fuck up. Be gay, do crimes.
Kinda like, kind of like Thanos in, not in Endgame, but in Infinity War, where you're like, no, I mean, I don't like his method, but objectively speaking, eco-terrorism is the way to go.
Yeah. It's like they had to do the same thing with her, like, for the last 20 years, they had to do the same thing with her that they did with, like, Magneto and whatever, where they're just like, yeah, look, totally 100% makes sense, but, like, she also just wants to kill everyone for some reason, and so she's bad.
Yeah, they're like, she crazy in the brain.
And it's like, does she? And it's like, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, she totally does. It's like, I don't know, I haven't really seen any evidence that she does want to kill people. Mostly she seems to just want the planet to be less sick, and they're like, no, it's totally
If anything,
matter.
She wants less people to die. Like,
nah, look at how she's lying on that plant. That's big killer vibes.
Yeah, look,
she
got the hot
she
face.
Got hot she face got and good titties, so she's clearly a bad person.
Well, that was great.
Thank you.
Did that, Margot? Did that satiate your need for good Batman villain, not problematic, fun times?
Yeah, I think so. I think I wanted Batman to die, to be honest. But like, I get that you can't do that in a Batman film.
I suppose like
yeah,
that
you can
would
only
be...
kill Superman in a Batman film.
Like, if you wanted to be like, we're doing, you know how like always superhero movies are like, we're doing it differently this time. You won't know what's happening. If you just straight up killed Bruce Wayne and then it was Nightwing who showed up and arrested everyone at the pipeline, like, that could be interesting.
Who?
And then all the orphans that he just collects suddenly. Yeah.
All those spare orphans.
This is just a hypothetical. In this universe, if the army, armband, handband, armadillo, hammadillo, if that Batman had a Robin, who would that Robin be?
I want to say Timothy Chalamet.
Ah, yes! You'd be such a terrible Robin, and I want to see it.
Do you guys want to do a shuffle round?
I mean, I'm up for it if you are, Margo.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well then we got to start with... Oops, I did it again.
I mean, could just be like a thriller about the friend zone, but like from the supposedly friend zoning woman's point of view.
The one being like, oops, I did it again, a man fell in love with me because he interpreted basic kindness as romantic interest.
Yeah, and the stuff that's like, you know, you think I'm in love, like, what is it? That I'm set from above, but I'm not that innocent.
I also just thought, because like the film clip is set on Mars?
It is set on Mars.
Like going with the Elon Musk angle that I seem to be just shoehorning into this podcast for no reason. I don't know. I kind of like the interpretation of this as like Elon Musk having like yet another like mad idea that he has that he pursues for like half a year and then tosses to one side.
Could we combine the two? And the mad idea is falling in love with Grimes, and Grimes is like, oh no.
No, what I was going to say, I was going to make another suggestion, and this is me showing my lack of like knowledge about the DC comic universe. Is there a DC comic book character who has like control over time, can like turn back time, other than Superman when he spun the world backwards and time went backwards?
Probably.
Because if there is, you could make... Oops, I Did Again could be the origin movie for that member of our new Justice League or Suicide Squad or whatever it is that we're creating.
Our mistakes league, let's be honest.
Yeah. They're just someone who, like, it's like it doesn't have control over the power and just keeps, like, it's like, oops, I did it again and now I have to save the world again because I accidentally...
Can I build on that?
Yes.
The idea of someone who is a time traveler from 2030 trying to fix 2020 and everything they do causes untold, unpredictable consequences. It's like, what do you mean there's murder hornets now? Excuse me, there's a plague? I just stopped the fires.
Oops. I think I did it again.
Again?
I goofed it again. Yes, I love it. That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. Teamwork makes the dream work.
It does.
All right, I think we need to do Circus because that's an underrated banger.
I actually just don't understand half these lyrics. Like, I'm reading along as I'm listening to it, and I think that's a bad idea. When I crack that whip,
everybody gone trip, just like a circus.
Just like a circus.
Look, I mean, Britney Spears lyrics, it's about the vibe, not the meaning.
What if it's like a coming of age film, like in the vein of, like, oh, what was that fantastic lesbian but not roller derby film?
With it?
Barrymore. Yeah.
Yeah, because you crack that whip, it. Everybody gonna flip it.
But it's the circ. Like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, like how, like, Fellini is like, my films are about how real life is sad, even in the circus. And it's like, Fellini, you've made 4 films about the circus. Maybe chill. And he's like, but what if life is the real circus?
Yeah, it's like a young, like,
we get it.
We get it. You're sad. Like,
yeah, like a young 15-year-old girl. Come to terms with the sexuality while, like, fucking doing Cirque du Soleil shit.
All right, I feel like we need to finish with the classic Baby One More Time.
Is my loneliness is killing me, so obviously it's a pandemic film.
Oh, but gosh,
it's somebody who's become addicted to online gambling.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's all I got.
No, that's great. Like, that could be, like, you know, those sort of psychological thrillers where they're like, we just filmed it in one location and it's all about, you know, the slow psychology of going mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's an extended sequence that's just him or her imagining, like, the people from the playing cards in, like, a sleep paralysis situation.
Oh my gosh.
It turns into, like, full psychological horror.
Damn, that's fucking... I want to watch that movie.
And then at the very end, it's like the pandemic is over and the character's like, oh my God. And they leave their house and they go straight to the pub and start playing the pokies.
Oh God. That's depressing. But yes, I love it.
Yeah.
We haven't been asking this question every week, but Margot, what's been keeping you sane or hopeful or, you know, with it during the pandemic?
During the pandemic, I mean, my cat, and also just, like, just been reading so much communist literature.
Where can people find more of your content online, Margot?
So I am on Twitter, comrade_Rosa. I have recently started posting more because I just randomly got 7 more followers one day and remembered that Twitter existed.
Heck yes.
Will probably only last a few more days, so get on it while you can.
We will.
And other than that, I'm writing for the Militant Monthly, which is the Australian Communist Party's newspaper. So you can keep an eye on
it. I love it. I love that for you.
Oh, little Marg, if I could go back in time to little Marg and be like, one day you'll be writing for a commie rag, she would be so proud.
That's so pure. Oh, little Marglet.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Charles?
They can find me on Twitter at GarlsOChady. I nearly said the name of the podcast. at GarlsOChady. What about you, Tansy?
I'm also on Twitter at TansyClipboard.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Pitch Shift, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're at Pitch Shift Pod. You can also email us, pitchshiftpodcast@gmail.com. Chuck us a review or a like or, I don't know, attention. We love attention. Send an email just to be like, hi, and I'll be like, oh my God.
But also,
an email to the Pitch Shift email.
Remember,
that's not just from Twitter.
You've really got to think about the sort of attention you're paying us, though, because we want attention as world-renowned environmental scientists, not for our good face and hot titty.
It's hot face, good titty.
God damn Tansy. I have created this monster and it has consumed me. I am nothing but hot face and good titty now.
That's the dream.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.